This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Immigration reform is a hot topic in today's political world and in the U.S. Nearly one in three immigrants comes from Mexico. But more people are returning to Mexico than coming to the United States. 1 million Mexicans and their American-born family members left the U.S. between 2009 and 2014. That's according to recent Pew Research. And the complex relationship with our southern neighbor isn't just about migration and borders. Mexico is one of the largest trading partners with the U.S., with $1.4 billion of trade between the two countries. Mexican Secretary of Foreign Affairs Claudia Ruiz Massieu is in North Carolina this week meeting officials. But first, she joins me on the State of Things. Welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank, for this opportunity to talk a little bit more about the Mexico-U.S. relationship and the Mexico-North Carolina relationship.
Well, let's start right there. What brings you to North Carolina?
Well, Frank, Mexico and North Carolina have a very intense relationship. We are North Carolina's third trading partner overall, its second market. And we have a community, a Mexican community, living in North Carolina of over 500,000 people. So it is an important state for us. It is a state with which we want to see a trade increase, mutual investment increase, and also more integration of our community here in North Carolina.
What would it take to do that, to increase trade and to integrate those communities?
Well, I'd say we have to keep on the work we have been doing. We have to acknowledge the many opportunities there are for our complementarities to grow, for our industries to get to know each other's markets more. Well, in fact, we are so important for North Carolina that there's a North Carolina office in Mexico City and has been for some years now, looking for ways to increase trade and investment. We have a lot of companies, Mexican companies, that are here, settled, invested in North Carolina. For example, in Cemex, the largest concrete and cement producer in the hemisphere, Bimbo, the largest bread maker in the whole region, in the whole North American region. Many companies that create and support jobs in North Carolina for North Carolinians. And we also have a lot of Mexican workers here, not only in the fields, not only more than 80% of the 100,000 people that work in the North Carolina agricultural sector, but Mexicans that are entrepreneurs and have thousands of companies here have created and supported them. We have hundreds of Mexicans working at Chapel Hill as teachers, a lot of professionals, dentists, executives in local and global companies here in North Carolina, a lot of students as well.
Well, some of those, let me talk a little bit about migration, too, because some of the workers here in North Carolina are not documented. How does the immigration picture complicate the trade relationship, or does it?
Well, I think there are aspects of a very complex and multifaceted relationship we have with the United States in general and with North Carolina in particular. Of course, we want to help and our community to become better integrated into with North Carolina community and North Carolina people. And that is the job and the responsibility that we have, and we do that largely through our consulate here in Raleigh. It is a fairly new consulate, a consulate that's a little bit over 15 years old. And through that consulate and its people, we regularly give services and provide information for our people here in North Carolina on how to become better integrated, how to become more engaged with the community. And we also develop and try to strengthen permanently a dialogue with political actors in the state, with the business community, to find ways in which we can all help our community to become better integrated.
But let's talk about, we talked about the reverse migration trends, which may surprise many people, the fact that more Mexican immigrants have left the country than arrived, which is to suggest that if Donald Trump builds his wall, he may keep people from going home. But tell me more about this reverse trend. What's going on there? What's happening? Why are more people, Mexicans, leaving to go back home?
Well, different factors, Frank. One of them being that Mexico has been growing economically steadily for the past several years. We are creating more and better opportunities for Mexicans back home, so people want to take advantage of that. Mexico is one of the emergent economies that's been growing more in the world. We are one of the top three destinations for foreign direct investment, and we are a country that exports a lot to the world, not only produce, but also high manufactured goods. So we offer a lot of opportunities, both for people looking for work and individual opportunities, for entrepreneurs, and for companies wanting to invest. The other thing is that a lot of Mexicans that have lived in the United States for the past years or decades even want to reunite with their families. They have accomplished what they wanted in the United States, and they want to go back to their place of birth and become part of the community back home and to become agents of transformation and growth in our country as well. So that is, those are some of the reasons we have seen these reverse migration trends, and it is a fact that the migration dynamics have changed in the past years. We have to acknowledge that. We have to work together with the United States and with other countries in the region, particularly Central America, that is where the larger part of the migration towards the United States is originating. We have to work together with a shared responsibility approach if we want to have sustainable policies and sustainable solutions.
Well, I wonder how you do that given the political rhetoric, which does not seem to have kept up. Donald Trump talking about building a wall, suggesting, I mean, the image you get is of this flood of immigrants coming one way. It's going the other way. So the facts don't support the argument. And yet, he's the leading candidate for the Republican Party. So you have to take that seriously. How do you deal with that? And you talked about integration a minute ago, and yet we're more and more criminalizing those who are undocumented, making it more and more difficult for them to be public players, to act and engage in civic activities simply because their status has now put them in danger. Seriously, how do you engage that, and how do you work with integration given the tone and the political rhetoric in this country coming from the highest circles?
Well, we have to focus on the facts, and we have to talk with hard facts and with objective truth as a starting point, Frank. That is why we have made a very conscientious effort from the Mexican government and have been inviting other actors in the bilateral relationship, not only Mexican actors, but also partners, friends in the United States, and people who believe that we should focus on the good things we can do together and not on the things that divide us, to talk about this, to talk with truth and hard facts about the nature of the relationship, about how it is a relationship that is positive and essential and strategic for both Mexico and the United States. And we believe that there are more people that when they listen to the facts and know this information, we'll understand how important it is for us to keep working together.
How do you get that message through? Since you're not, obviously, you don't have access to the airwaves in the way our political candidates do, and given the tone and the way in which immigration is discussed in this country, how do you break through all of that noise to talk about the facts that you just mentioned?
Well, with persistence and calling upon the shared values that we have, the common interests that we share as well, and with the deep belief that the Mexico-U.S. relationship is much more stronger than any political juncture. We have to focus on the future. We have to focus on what ties and binds us together, which is much more than rhetoric at any given point. We have to focus on our experience, shared experience, and on the type of future we want to build for our children. A future of prosperity, a future of competitiveness, a future where the United States and Mexico and the North American region keep on being the most prosperous and dynamic and competitive region in the world, or a future where each country has to deal on itself, isolated with the many challenges that globalization poses. I believe we are stronger together than we are apart, and we have to keep on having this conversation and trying to reach the larger American audience that I'm sure when they hear the facts, when they hear the examples and hear how this bilateral relationship is good and how the Mexican community's contribution to each and every state in the union prosperity is very much a fact, then we will start seeing the conversation shifting from the negative to the positive.
Madam Secretary, good to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Frank, for the opportunity. Good day.
Claudia Ruiz Massieu is Mexico's Secretary of Foreign Affairs. Just ahead, Greensboro native Lee Himes' debut novel explores the what if in the life of a suburban working mother. You'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.